Living in the within the country, because no nature, then there's no time to think even of life also. See? Because everybody or every community competing each other to get more advancement. So the important point is to get material advancement and they are done their work and their production. So they are doing all the time thinking for getting advancement. So these things are running very, very fast, very, very heavy. So every individual living in society, they have to go along with the function of society. And then the society also produce very, very good machines, very good industries, and rate of production, and rate of quality control, and so on and so forth. So every individual hasn't got time to think about the nature of existence, nature of physical being, nature of pain, or nature of mental pain, or physical pain. But they have to keep up with this moving, the moving speed of the society. So, as you explained, that is quite different from the Oriental social setup and the Occidental social setup. And then a kind of blessing we inherited from our forefathers, we still maintain in our Myanmar, as well as some other neighboring countries, Thai or Malaysia or these people, because they still maintain the hereditary way of keeping our life. See, for example, in Western countries, each and every family unit, only husband and wife are real partners. See, and the mother and father also live by themselves. And then the children also, when they become the age of 18 or 20, they get away from the mother and father. So these two persons living together and struggling and working and so on and so forth. So material environment, as you have mentioned, so television, see, and then the telephone and every modern gadget to give them physical comfort. But actually, they have the human surrounding. That means, really, personally, attached person are not very much. That's only two of husband and wife. So, that is the thing really happening. Majority of the people in Western countries are having like that. But here in this country, in Myanmar, see, under the same roof, grandpa and grandma living at the top of the house, and then mother and father, and grandchildren, or son and daughters, we living together, sharing life, discussing our daily life problems, and at the same time, grandpa and mom telling the story to the grandchildren about their experience, about their religion, about their life, and about their faith, and so on. So as for the body, mostly telling about the Dhaka stories of our Lord, our Buddha, see? So these are the benefits the children are receiving, the knowledge, the experience from their grandpa and ma. Not only what, not only that fulfills and beating, because they are also receiving the one and the nitya of that grandpa and ma. And then the mother and father also quite safe to go to their shop every day, because the house is in the hands of grandpa and ma, and the children are also living under the control of the grandpa and ma. So the family unit, at least if we can say that, three generations are living together in the same house, sharing each and every person's suffering and pain, as well as happiness also. This is the kind of unit what we are receiving from our grandpa and ma and our ancestors. See? So we just can live. So that means what? We have human environment quite warmly and happily to live together under the same roof. Yeah, definitely. And finally, Oriental country, as well as our heritage and our culture. See? That's it. Yeah.
But whatever social system we have, it is very evident that the social system, how good it may be, will never really eradicate the dukkha from the people's life. We can dream about ideal social systems, still the dukkha will be always presenting factor in everybody's life. It is completely impossible to eradicate those subtle kinds of dukkha you spoke about just a few minutes ago. We can perhaps increase the bodily comfort due to the luxurious flat, due to the perfect medical supplies in the hospitals and so on. But what the Western world really didn't succeeded in is to lessen or reduce the mental sufferings, which are much more subtle than some obvious bodily pain, but because they can go on many years, in the end the mental dukkha of isolation, mental dukkha of long-term depression, suffering of loneliness of young people and of old people, all these things are still predominant in the Western society. Now in America, almost everybody is going to some kind of psychological help for some therapy, looking for help wherever they can get it. Of course, the psychiatrist or the therapist may provide some temporary relief of symptoms, which are very oppressive to the person. But when you look closely to the effect of the psychiatric or therapeutic healing, what usually happens is just displacing of some problems to some other fields. So then it appears non-existent in the beginning, but after one or two years you have the same person at the psychiatrist again with slightly different symptoms. Western people are not stupid. They have realized this. Many of the Western people have realized that there is some deeper problem in the root of the being itself. Many of them have turned towards spiritual practice of meditation. They are looking now more and more for solution of their personal problems in the fields of meditation. The meditation now is booming in the West. The Western people approach the Vipassana meditation mostly from the angle of dunya, or looking for wisdom, looking for the liberating insight in the wisdom, in the meditation. This is of course a gross one-sidedness. Western yogis lack generally the appreciation of another field of training which are in the Buddhist countries very well observed. I am speaking about the dana, generosity. I am speaking about the whole field of sila, which prepares the whole person for higher degrees of meditation. Also the factor of devotion, which is generally disliked by the Western yogis, actually signifies a lack of gratitude towards the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. So the interest for meditation is in the Western society very young. It's in the childhood problem. Yes. It did not grow out of the childhood age. But with the spreading of the interest for meditation, I have realized that more and more people start to understand the process of meditation in a more holistic way. That also this factor of sila, the factor of dana, and the sila, and the whole process of taking refuge towards all three gems of the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. So we have a sign in the Western society that the whole approach of the Western people is now getting more better foundation. And so I have lots of actually confidence into the development of the Western Sangha. Now, in this time, we have already Western bhikkhus. Western bhikkhus, they have sometimes over 20 vasa. They are already Mahathera. These Western bhikkhus are giving ordination to new Western yogis or Western samanera in England. Yes, we can say that the Buddha Sasana has taken root in the Western society already. But of course, it's a long way to go. But as you said in the very beginning, your society is looking for modern ways, for ways of presentation of Buddha's teaching in the way which is appealing to the people of this age. I think this is very important, especially with the Western people. They have a different culture. Their mind is based on many scientific it has lots of scientific thinking in the base. So many Western people approach the Dhamma through things which can be proved. They always ask for the proof of things. Western people have lots of problems with sufficient saga. They always want first to have a tangible proof. Fortunately, Lord Buddha presented his teaching exactly in this way. Come and see. The Dhamma itself is akaliko. The result does not wait. When there is a magga, there is immediately the experience of the result of the follow. And people who are very serious in their approach to the Dhamma, they can experience the results immediately.
So, now, the world or the planet Earth is very small for the people or inhabitants of the Earth, because we can communicate each other, although we are living quite apart. But now today, we can see, as we have explained, the nature of the Buddha teaching, as well as the meditations are growing. And one of my friends, a few days ago, I met him there. He is working in one of the embassies in our country. He is the commercial officer. So he was invited by his embassy, and he went to England, and then he attended the training course. After finishing the training course, different from the different parts of the world, all other representatives of the commercial officers also meeting together, and then the convener request to give each and everyone any subject they like, and then just for a short talk to give each other exchange and to get food. So our friend from Borno, he actually is the convert. See? He was a Christian, and then he was not Myanmar. He is also one of the tribes of the Chinese. He is not Burmese, but even just he required well versed in Myanmar, and he educated in Yangon University, so it's a quite well informed. And at the same time, he compassed to him, the Buddha. See? Because at the very beginning, he was a Christian, but when he thinks about the nature of the setup of the Christianity, it doesn't give him the complete satisfaction of the explanation of the existence and so on. So he came towards the Buddhism by himself. And then after being a Buddhist, he tried to study all the books available around him, and then he studied Abhidhamma, and three times he repeated the Abhidhamma. So he was theoretically very thorough. And then when he got the chance to talk, so he took the subject to talk about Buddhism and Buddhism. Theravada Buddhism and Myanmar. He explained his particular knowledge of Buddhism. And he explained that he originally was Christian, he converted by himself, and then he learned Buddhism from the environment and from the Bami Bhikkhus and so on. And then he explained to you what he knows. So, every participant are quite enthusiastic at the explanation about the Buddhism. And then they also tell that your talk is very good and wonderful. And then someone came to him and so he asked to tell that, see? Do you know which religion is truly Christian in? He replied, I don't know. Buddhism is the first true religion in our country. So if I just explain why the English. So this is really happening in that country. So hearing these messages, we're quite happy. And the same thing, so we are trying to give that information, because it's not actually teaching, because we have a short period of to get in touch with the people in the West. So whenever they come to our country, if they want to know, so we can get a short explanation through the video or the text or so on. We are trying to provide for them for short course, if they can spend longer time, for 10 days or 1 month or so on, that also we are going to give this kind of explanation. That's a new approach, okay? New method of studying Buddhism, theory, as well as practical part of meditation. So this is the aim of our society. Yeah? So, now, when we are going to continue the way how we are going to see the Dhamma, law of Dhamma. The law of Dhamma is actually law of nature, natural law. But the term natural law, when the people in the world, when they use, mostly they look upon the function of material things, material functions and material laws only, they think that is natural law. But from our Buddhist point of view, the material things are also, they have their own laws, physical law, chemical law, biological law, and so on. And then the other side, mind. Mind is also its own law, mental law, and so on. So these things, according to human being, mind and matter, body and mind, they are working together. So from our point of view, we don't try to separate which part is mental alone and which part is body alone, because we are working all the time together since the very beginning of our conception up to the very moment. See? Up to this moment, we are working together. So we can distinguish the work of mind. At the same time, we can distinguish the work of physical body. So, now as we have discussed at the very beginning of our discussion, this physical body is set up with the complete system of the nervous system and respiratory system and blood circulatory system and so on and so forth. From the Buddhist point of view, these systems are very, very delicate, and then we call the kamaja rupa process, because continuously karmic energy or karmic forces trying to catch proper function of each and every organ. So these are very, very interesting things. From the physiological point of view, when we look upon the digestive system, the food, what we eat every day, contains a lot of the protein, fat, carbohydrates, and so on and so forth. These are the things getting into our stomach, and stomach digested, and after digesting, metabolic functions are working, its own process, and through the blood, these food and nutrients to each and every tissue and every cell with the oxygen and so on. Now, to get the right protein molecule and the right place. So different kinds of proteins are in this body supplied by our food. But the wonderful thing is, so although it's a protein, the brain cells, they need their own necessity. It's a kind of protein. And then so the muscle, they need different things. But these are going in proper place, proper protein. See that? So that's also explained by the physiologist, by the chemical way they are putting that from our Buddhist point of view. Not only the physical, the dynamic energy is also helping each and every process to get every necessary protein properly to get into the stomach place. This is the process from our point of view. to function, six physical bodies, as well as the mental body, two together, we need four continuous supply energy. You want it? Kamik force or kamik energy is supplying or supporting for this function. That's the other, the tiny one is calling climatic control over this body and mind. This is one process. See? Climbing. This is also one important control over this mind-body function. Climbing. And the second one is the food and nutrient. This is the second. And then, after that, when these particles or these cells, they get the forming from the physical environment. For example, air. Air is the product of the material environment through the process of cleaning. But the time cleaning from our Buddhist view, we call that is called dhatu. Dhatu means that it's some energy. Yes? But nowadays, the energy, not only the samar form, the other form are also working. The acid chemical energy, and then the electrical energy, and so on. These energies are supplying or supporting factors to continue this mind-body system that we call climatic control. Yeah? And then the climate produces the environment, the whole botanical kingdom, the trees and plants, produce food and nutrients, protein as well as the carbohydrates. See? So our physical body cannot make food directly from carbon dioxide in water just the plants are producing. As for the plants, they can produce their own food from the raw material like carbon dioxide and water vapor and presence of the green coloration of chlorophyll, and then with the help of the ultraviolet rays, they produce the first glucose and then transform into sucrose and then become carbohydrate and other protein also they are producing. They have their equipment. But as for the living being, they cannot produce. They have to depend on the product of the body getting them. So when we cut the food, sugar, salty, carbohydrate and protein, so we eat every day in the form of solid food. See? In the form of solid food. And this one solid food probably get into the digestive system and after the digestion that I explained to you that put even every necessary part of the body, even every tissue, what they require and what they need and supply them the oxygen and protein and carbohydrate and so on. And then this kind of uniqueness of the function and supply from our point of view, controlling factor, it's stomach factor, continuously controlling, we look upon that way. After that, only it comes another mental function. Yes, mind is also cooperating for the existence of the body. Because when this physical body is in need of food, physical body calls for food, but it's not extreme. But if there are symptoms of hunger, the feeling of hungry is not a physical symptom, it is mental. Mind is failing the need of the body in terms of hunger, in terms of feeling. So this is the point of the cooperation of physical body and mental body. Mental body is helping to supply the needs of physical function. So this is the thing. Yeah? So just like the pain, just like the pain of the other part of the body, when this is the body is in need of the food, it is caring in terms of hunger, the same time it needs the water, see, in terms of thirst, standing there. So this wonderful physical body is composed of four fundamental things. See, one is a solid state, the other is liquid state, and the third is gaseous state, and the fourth is energy state. See, these four things are to get that kind of the balance adjustment, see, climate control, food control, stomach control, and mental control. They are getting every time when they are in terms of their own way, they are going on and on. Now, one point, what we have to think about, the nature of relation between coming force and physical function, how they are relating and how they are functioning. Yeah? That's also one important point. Yeah? As for your eye, as for your ear, yeah? Your eye is completely good. See, so you can see it. Your ear is also very good, therefore you can hear every voice, every sound. So, now, to be a perfect state of the eye, perfect state of the ear, so, out of the fourth process, karmic process is very, very important. See? Karmic process is protecting all signs, the eyes and ears. The receptors in the receptors to be perfect all the time has been by karmic force. That is, karmic force is controlling the physical process, and these are called karmic rupa. Samajata rupa. Samajata rupa. And then, when they are completely perfect, and then you get the sensation of sight at your eye. See that? Sensation of sight is the only the term in physical. But you have seen also. See? Seeing, the term seeing, represents not physical alone, but mental also involved in the sound scene. Is it going? Yeah. So seeing has two parts. One is the image. See? The other is the mind. See? That the mind makes you cognitive sight. To make it seen, the picture of the image. So when you see something, two things are simultaneously working together. One side is mental, the other side is physical. Physical side is producing continuously the image. Here, and then mental side is also producing to make it awareness, the seeing or cognition of sight. So both are working. And from our Buddhist point of view, each and every moment, seeing is not the long time. See that? One moment after moment, seeing is continuously. See? Physical pictures are also one picture after another picture. New pictures come into your retina. And at the same time, each and new mind is also combining new picture and produce new scenes. And this is the flux. And this is continuous function of seeing. See that? From our point of view, we see that. Now, the point is, each and every moment of knowing in your mind. So that mind, every time it comes into existence, just the help of something not being, something false. See the point? Each and every mental all mental mental movement. You see that? Right in contact with the stomach and mind. Produce one after another meaning of mind. So the example is like this. When we look up, we see the electric light. Electric light is the just because of the electric current coming through the filament. As long as the electric current is passing through the filament, there is the light. The light is the product of the electricity. See? Electricity is the new energy transformed into light energy. So the point, what we like to first give, electricity also continuously supplying as long as electric current is going on, there is the light. So two are going continuously on and on. You get the point now? Now we want to change the word to the mental pressure. See that? When we are seeing new moments of mind, each and every breath, mind, supplied by stomach energy, just like electric current. It's a continuously supplying stomach energy and continuously new chakru vinyanata too. One after another, continuously coming and appearing, so and so forth. So this is our way of interpretation of stomach energy and the subject of the stomach energy in terms of vinyanadhatu, chakhu vinyanadhatu. These two are coming together. So vinyanadhatu is something like the light. Stomach energy is something like electrical energy. Both are continuing the function. They are transforming at the eye. What we call it Chakupasada. Chakupasada is the place where we call embodying way, the retina, on the retina, the focal point of the light falling on the retina. That point is called fovea. So that place we call in our Buddhist word, that is Chakupasada. See, Chakupasada is nothing but focal point. So one thing we have to think about it. There is a place which is not regarding the head of the light. See, not regarding the head of the light. This is the very important samsya. Rupa. So there is the point. So that is functioning for seeing the material side from the physical side. That's the point. 2,500 years ago, Buddha explained that there is a point. See? Walking exactly for seeing. See? The sight is just like the head of the light. So now, physiologists can point out that. So, the fovea, the size of fovea is not bigger than the size of the head of the light, because that's it, the head of the brain and so on. So wonderful thing is. So physiologists can explain about this day about 100 years or so after studying that.
but 2,500 years ago, Buddha has explained there is the point, there is the structure in the eye, this is body, that Upasada, that Upasada is really what is foreseen. So the thing is, we can understand the nature of Sabhinita Jnana. This can explain since 2,000 years ago. Now scientists can explain exactly the same place, and the same thing, and the same function. So this is a wonderful thing for us. So that the same way in our heart, in our ears. So for hearing, just like the kong, see that? So yeah, we call it cochlea. Yeah, the physiologist called cochlea. Inside the cochlea, there is the cochlea itself, the spiraling one, and filled with the liquid. But that is also divided by the one layer inside that. On that is called the organ of Corti. See that? On the organ of Corti, there are the hairs. The hairs are in the medium of liquid. At the root of the hair and the hair, there are sensory nerves. And then when the sound waves strike or vibrate the liquid, they move the hair to and fro. So by mechanical force, so the hair transform into electrical impulses and transmitted to the audio center. So this is the physiologic explanation. But Buddha explained that these are very fine hairs to produce sensation of sound or hearing. So the thing is, such a delicate thing inside the hair, inside the ear, in the cochlea, these hairs are really working for hearing, explained since 2,500 years ago. So, at the present moment, scientists can explain only a few, say, 100 years or so forth. See that? So, we have very, we just have this kind of information, both are true, and then, two things are exactly the same. The only thing is, 2,500 years ago, Anasambhuja explained the nature of the structure of this body, and the geologists also explained the same thing. So that is a wonderful thing for us. And then Anasambhuja explained according to our theory, because of his Sabhinita Jnana, and then the geologists by their experiment and so on. So the truth is there, see? We find it. So, the way of the things, what we are learning from our literature is very good for us, because the present scientists supply the necessary information to know about our literature more and more detail. So that's good for us. So, when we come to the point of a function, a function, physical function, as well as body function, physical function and mental function, our Buddhist way usually explain the moment to moment change of the mind. So each and every moment of mind has its own task, its own meaning. So one course of performance, this is called the track of the mind, the unity, wiki. Now that track or that wiki, when it is observing at the eye, because chakku dwara we see. So there are 17 movements of mental occurrences. So the Atita, Bonga, Bonga Selena, Bonga Chakrabhisera, these are existing ones, and then it becomes a footstool or stool of contact. Yeah? And then after that, consciousness of the consciousness of type. Yeah? And that is the Chakku Vinyana Dhatu. Chakku Vinyana Dhatu is exactly occurring at the retina, the epiphobia. So when we try to analyze the nature of functioning from the physical side as well as the mental side, first I try to explain from our side here. After Chakku Dwara Vinyana Dhatu, another Vinyana Dhatu follows. So that is called the feeling mind. Receiving what? It's a doing for receiving the Chakku, what? The image of the Chakku Dwara Vinyana. After receiving the third mind in the life, and then decide the picture, and then follow the Javana, the seven movements of mind. Seven Javanas. See? These Javanas are as for the seeing, as for seeing. They are trying the process of the performance of seeing. See that? And then altogether in the Dharamana is just 2 weeks exhaust. See that? These 70 mental movements are what they mean. That is our outside. This is the explanation of our side, right? Mental what that's doing. From the physical point of view, the physiologists are explaining the process of seeing. When light energy coming into our eyes, they catch the photon of light energy, gets in touch with the fovea. Inside the fovea, there are cells. These are photosensitive cells. So there are two kinds of photosensitive cells. One is called rod, according to the shape. The other kind is called cone, according to the shape. Rod and cone. And mostly, in the fovea, the number of cones are more than rods. And then the work of cone, separation of color. See, blue and the red or yellow and so on. As for the rod, the difference is between black and white. See, they are their task. So, when they receive the energy of photon, see, they get the chemical change. When they have the chemical change, they produce chemical energy. So the point is, mental energy or mental movement, mind is working with the physical energy. See? That energy is only chemical energy. See that? At that moment, mind and physical body working together from the mental side. We call that Chakku-Vinyana Dhatu. When the Chakku Vinyana Dhatu is really occurring, physical side, these rods and cones are performing the chemical change and producing chemical energy. This chemical energy is the energy of mind working together at the very at the same moment. After that, after receiving the image, the Chakku Vinyana Dhatu turn over to the next moment of mind and receiving. Now, physiologists explain that this chemical energy and this chemical energy transform into electrical energy. And then, in the form of electrical impulses, send messages through the optical nerve to the occipital center. In the occipital center, the brain cells are receiving the data, the electrical impulses. See that? that that is the CM. See? Now, physical process also receives the messages from the eye. See? At the occipital lobe. So the point. See? At the eye, from the mental process, there is Chakhu Vijnana Dhatu. After Chakhu Vijnana Dhatu, there is the meaning of man receiving the energy of Chakhu Vijnana Dhatu. See that? So the time receiving, man are also receiving the mental process, and physical function also receiving the 14 dhrita from the eye to the occipital lobe. See that? Occipital lobe is also working, receiving jobs, receiving the electrical impulses. This is the first step. After receiving that impulse, after receiving the dhrita, it process. See? They put the dhrita into their own form. See? They are processing. Data processing, data analyzing, and so on. See? These physical functions are working at the occipital lobe. See that? Now from our the abhidhamma also, some kichna receiving, minded analysis, and some kirana. See that? And then also, what karna. These are mental works. Doing. And then physical works are also doing that the occipital lobe. In the form of electrical impulses, they receive the messages, they present the data, analyze the data, and so on. So, what I am trying to do? Two functions. One is physical, in the form of electrical impulses, the other from our side, the mental. In the form of the different modes of function or different works, each and every unit of mind, see? So receiving, developing, and so on. This is also Tantrikana, Tantrikana, Uttarana, and so on. So after doing all the things, the occipital lobe refers to the visual center. So visual center receives the message there and it performs the condition of sight. And then from our abhidhamma also, seven process of javana, nine, see that? 14 process, 14 there. See? So this is only the portion, see, this is the portion of mental and physical processes. Oh, number one, they are going on and on. Now the point is, this is called the Chakhu Dwara Vichi, the track of the mental process, as well as the track of physical process. You see the point now? Now, up to that point, see, that only performing invention of seeing or simply patient. See that? Patient is a visual impression. Visual impression is combination of two things. One is mental sight. The other is the image. The image supplied by the eye as well as the light and the object. They combine together and form the image. That image combined with the mind, make it the simulation of sight or seeing. So, now, the important point is, up to that process, only impression of seeing. Is this point now? Yeah, impression of feeling has been got any eye, any self, any person. This is according to our theory. You see the point? Yeah. So at that moment, all that 17 million of mind track, see, and in process, only performing by the object like an eye, and at the same time the process of the two in another contemplation, atadivana, and so on. It has kept working mental side as well as the physical side going together. So, what we are going to stress the important point. See, this is real function of physical body and mental body put together. So there is no personal self in it. There is no personal self in it. So up to this day, this message whom we want to use in terms of the Western world, non-dual, there is no two person or no thing. Although mind and body are working together, no person of here, see, no person of here, at the same time, no person of the object or of the person, see, so no external object and no internal here, just only the process, just only the process of seeing and the interaction of seeing and body. See that? So at that moment, or at that section, that is non-dual system. See? Non-dual system. So, up to this moment, so we would like to analyze, see, our Buddhist Abhidhamma with the supply of the knowledge of the physiological function of the eye, of the cornea, and of the pillow, and the visual finger, and so on. They are working together, the work of seeing, impression of seeing. So up to that point, see, there is no personal self is involving. See? Therefore, we call it non-dual, no external or no internal. That's the process is going on. Alright? So if we can clear the point from our point of view, non-dual moment of motion, it's a very, very short. See, very, very short. Because according to our interpretation or calculation, so within the wing of eye, see, very, very short moment, and then at that such a short moment, trillions of mental moments passing away. So only 17 out of the trillion, see, the mental moment is very, very short. Although they are very, very short, they are real. Since they are real, they are real. And then that reality hasn't caught any personal self in it. See that? That is our way of interpretation. Non-dual is that function only. See that? So this call, this is the circuit. This kind of 17 minutes of mental circuit. And as well as the physical circuit, like on, just like the electronic circuit, electronic cycle. See, that is a hot circuit. This is called Vipaka Buddha. See, that's it. Vipaka Buddha. Buddha is the learning circuit order. It's a weak Buddha. And then resulting Buddha. Because the primary supplier of energy, Dhamma, and then external sunlight coming into this body, and then the eye or the receiver receiving the external images, and then it supplies the to the necessary nerves themselves to perform the work for formation of image. Along with that, mental process are working just like that. Vita, Vonda, Vonda, Chalana, Vonda, Vichita, And when that hour was done, and then the Kuwanyana Padu, and Kitana, and Dirna, Uttana, and Dhamana, and so on. So, all these human communities, and one after another, all completely of 17 ways. It's a one complete country of the impression of human tongue. So, up to that point, there is no button of service in learning. The natural process I was informed, the supplier of energy is coming in our view. See? Yeah, coming in energy is working. So that coming in energy, with the help of the physical completeness, and producing one after another, and that's going on and on. So this is the first sign of the success in our body. This is called the Vipaka Uddha. So, in this evening, if we can discuss up to this stage, that will be clear and good enough for us. So we will continue next time. So, up to this. So please share something.
Yeah, this was really very interesting exposition of that what happens during the moment of perception. Yes, only one minute.